Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Today, the reason why we sang that song, Landslide, two reasons. One, number one, how many of y'all, before you got saved, you heard that song, right? You know, a lot of churches are like, whatever you do, don't play secular music or music that's not church music at church. And I think that if you came into a church campus today, and maybe it's your first time, we like to do something that identifies, obviously, with where you came from. Instead of saying, this is a club, we belong here, and you know, it's like going in the middle of a movie. Like, what's going on here? And so that's one of the reasons. The second reason is the woman who wrote this song, Stevie Nicks, in the Fleetwood Mac. Can I get an amen for Fleetwood Mac? And so she was sitting in Aspen, Colorado, and she had seen the results of a landslide. She said that she felt like she was in a bit of a landslide herself, and she penned the words landslide, which changed everything, and she got a landslide of money. Come on, somebody, right? So that's really cool. But many times people are in a landslide moment. That's kind of what I talk to you about today, is about sharing your faith. And here's what I want you to do. Raise your hand if Jesus has really done something pretty cool in your life. You're like, man, thank God for Jesus. I'm going to give you another chance not to go to hell. Raise your hand, okay? And then secondly, how many of this church has also come alongside and renews your mind, encourage you, help you? And so what we need to do is learn how to share our faith with other people. Now, number one, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a pro. You don't have to be perfect. You just got to be willing. So when you're willing to share your story with other people, it changes everything. Because you know your story. How many of y'all know your story? How many of you got parts of your story you don't want other people to know? Raise your hand, all right? If you didn't raise your hand, I pray God tells me right now, what is it, God? We got stuff we don't want to talk about. That's okay. His grace has covered us. But when you tell your story with other people, what it does is it changes the mindsets of people and realize, wow, they weren't perfect. Because here's what people assume. They assume that if you go to church, you're perfect. They assume that that must be for other people than me, because the enemy, that devil, he's always telling you what you're not to keep you separated from God. Now, I want to jump forward. I was going to do this a little later in the sermon, but there's a girl. You might have heard of her. She's a famous singer. Anybody ever heard of Taylor Swift? Anybody heard of her? And people line up for concerts. My daughters, I think they might even have a picture of it. Ashton and everybody, they're like, oh, we're going to Taylor. We're paying all this money. Don't they look fancy? Come on, somebody. And they went, and they're packed out stadium. And then there's other people, Morgan Wallen, people driving and flying all over. And I'm not against that. That's great. What I am saying, though, is that there's not a lot of resistance to keep people out of those events. But the devil tries to keep people out of church. Some of you today, you had a hard time. You're like, forget it. I went through too much hell to pretend that it's, come on, somebody ought to say amen. You come to church and there's greeters and you almost killed one of the kids. And you come in, they're like, good morning. You're like, praise the Lord. You're a liar. So many times we're looking at ourselves going, man, I can't go to church. I'm not a church person. So now add about 50,000 times more pressure to the people that are in your world, people that you work with, people that you see at Starbucks. Everywhere we go, we don't have to try to preach a sermon to them. We got to share our story of what Jesus did for us, and then in turn, it changes their lives. There's a great story in the Bible in John 4:39. It says that many of the Samaritans out of the city believed on him. And for the saying of this woman, which testified, he told me all that I had ever done. This woman was a notorious sinner. You know the story, the woman at the well. And Jesus comes up to her, and he doesn't meet her with judgment. He meets her with grace. He meets her with acceptance. He tells her that you never have to thirst again once you drink of this living water. Then when she left, guess what she did? She didn't keep it to herself. She went and told everybody about what Jesus had done for her. So other people believed because of her belief. Everybody in that city knew that this Samaritan woman had a complete life change because of her story. Your story is powerful. Now think about this for a moment. I don't like to talk about hell much, but it's a real place. The Bible said that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You know this. It says that narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and it says few be there that find it. It said wide is the road that leads to eternal damnation. So heaven is real and hell is real. And I think that changes this perspective instead of saying, well, we're in this gospel grace and guitars and it's cute and we sing these songs. No, this is people's life. Because hell isn't like a county jail where you're like, oh, I'm there for 2.5 years, I could do that. No, this is eternity ad infinitum. Here's the good news. We don't go to heaven because we're good. We go to heaven because Jesus is good, but he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Yeah, that's it. So we got to share it because it really, really makes a difference. I have a friend here, and I know that surprises you. Yeah, I got a couple on. Nicole and I would have dinner with them on a certain night of the year, every year. They own a huge hotel chain. If I told you, you'd know who that, they're the name of the company. And year after year, as he got a little older, we saw her, and they were very affluent people. They lived next to the Kennedys, and we'd hear all these stories about them and have a great, great time with them. Then one year, they called and said, hey, you know what? She passed away. And at dinner, when we were sitting there with him and a couple other friends, he said, Reverend, can I ask you a question? They were different than we were as far as our belief system in God and Jesus and what was important, because this is important right here. You don't go to heaven because you go to church. You go to heaven because you receive Jesus. You don't go to heaven because you're good. You go to heaven because you receive Jesus. And many people want you to confess your sins to a priest. And we now have a high priest because a lot of times, no offense on the priest, a lot of them are good men. But the fact is they're just men. And just like me, before I was a pastor, I was a man. So we're all tempted to sin and we all have shortcomings. So now he asked me the question. He said, we walked into the hotel that we owned, and I have a question. He said, as I walked in, and we, the valet guy, the bellman was helping us, my wife laid down on the bed, and I heard her scream, and she died with this horrible, demonic look on her face. He said, what do you suppose that means? That's a hard conversation to have over dinner. He said, my priest said that it meant that she was going from purgatory into heaven. That's not the case. I'm here to tell you that I've sat beside a lot of people. In fact, my joke is this. If you see me at the hospital, know you're about to die, okay? Just so you know. There's thousands of people come to our church. I can't go because you had an ingrown toenail. I can't go because you had surgery. Come on, so y'all see what I'm saying right now? If you see me, know you're about to see the Lord, okay? In fact, funny story, near the Fairview Heights campus over there, there was a woman, our church was just at one campus at this point, and that was my philosophy from day one. And so I just happened to be in the neighborhood of the hospital where she was having a surgery. She's probably in her middle 60s, 70, and she's a large woman. I just loved her a lot. She's real sweet. And I walked into the hospital, and she said, oh, God, am I going to die? I almost scared her to death. So after that, I made myself a promise. I can't do that. I'm like, no, I was in the area. But as I've sat beside the best, as I sit beside people, and I've done that many times, there's a pleasant passing from this life to the other life when Jesus is your Lord. When Jesus is your Lord, they say, I felt a bright light. I felt like there was something pulling me into my eternity. I sit there and sing songs with my children. But if the devil is your Lord, they're screaming and gnashing of teeth as you go to hell. Now, here's the problem with hell. Hell lasts a long time. And here's the other problem with hell. The devil's pretty smart, and he's inoculated us to hell. So now we say, I went through hell. No, you didn't. I went through cancer. It was hell. No, you didn't. My internet's slow. It's hell. No, no. Hell is a real problem and a real place, and we have to share our story to convince people that we have a loving Savior that's trying to get him and keep them out of church. Come on, give God praise. Sunset, our city, everywhere. Now, Revelations 12:11 says this. It says, in Revelation 12, it says, they triumphed, or they overcome him, speaking of the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Their testimony. Shout that with me. Whose testimony? You got to share your story, tell your story, and witness. Acts 1:8 is another good one. It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, if you receive Jesus today at one of our campuses, the Holy Spirit's in you and on you. And it says, then you will be my witnesses. You're supposed to be witnessing in Jerusalem, and Judea, Samaria, and to all the earth. a lot of our church families online watching today, whether in boats or overseas and all over the world. And I'm here to tell you that wherever you go, share your faith, because your story can help people who are in a landslide feeling like I'm depressed and it's never going to change. And we can come in with our story. And when Jesus comes, he comes with resurrection life. Come on, somebody. It changes their life forever. Now, in real life, sometimes it can be tough. You can say, okay, you know, T.L. Osborne said, Christianity is not a message of restriction. It is a message of relief. So people say, well, I'll come to church when I clean up. I'll give my life to God when I clean up. That's like saying, hey, I'm going to clean up before I take a shower. It just doesn't make sense. I want to take a bath before I take a shower. No, you don't clean up to come to Christ. You come to Christ and he cleans you up. And then, again, you tell your story from not a I'm a perfect perspective. Here's why a lot of people don't share their faith. Now, listen to me. They don't share their faith because they think, I want to make sure that I got my stuff together before I share my faith. I'm here to tell you right now, if I waited to preach a sermon on the weekend, you all be waiting a long time. Y'all follow me right now? Because I don't come in my might. I don't come in my power. I come in the name of the Lord, and the greater one is on the inside of me to carry out my purpose. So in other words, people need what you carry. Shout that with me. People need what you carry. What are you carrying? You're carrying the Holy Spirit. So everywhere you go, you need to tell everybody about somebody that can make somebody out of a nobody. And when you do that, God uses ordinary people in ordinary situations to open up the door for the gospel. Because again, you got to remember, there's a heaven to gain and hell to shun. Again, I hear these stories. I was recently with a group of people and different surgeons and heart doctors and so on that I have an opportunity to be around different people, and they were saying that this one guy was on a stress test on a treadmill. How many of y'all hate that, right? I mean, how many of y'all like me and just looking at a treadmill stresses you out, right? I saw a guy the other day that said that doctor said to spend 45 minutes on the treadmill every day, and so he just put a pillow there and he laid down for 45 minutes. But he's on the stress there because there, at certain times he was having heart palpitations and they wanted to simulate what that was. And the one doctor, by the way, was an atheist. And the one doctor was a Christian. And the guy got on the treadmill and all of a sudden he got to going and he had a heart attack and he died, fell out on the floor. And those doctors got on top of him and they started resuscitating him. And they said, typically when they do this, when the people come back, they'll go, you're crushing my ribs, or you're killing me, you're crushing my ribs. But this guy, as they were resuscitating him, he come back and he said, pray, I'm in hell, pray, I'm in hell. For real, he was literally in the pits of hell. When he died, he was going to hell. When they resuscitated him back, he's coming back. And he was screaming, pray, pray. And the Christian doctor knew what happened. He knew that this man was experiencing reality, experiencing life after death. And life after death would be eternity in hell. But thank God, he got resuscitated, gave his life to Jesus, and that is a true story. Come on, give God praise today in his house. Now, Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation. Now, the enemy tries to tell us, whatever you do, don't talk about politics. Whatever you do, don't talk about religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship. We're not talking about religion, politics. We're talking about real power. By the way, and when you get to heaven, how many of y'all want to go there someday? When you get to heaven, we don't vote God in every 4 years. It's not a democracy. It is a theocracy. He who said, I was God when you got here, and I'll be God when you're gone. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through his son, Jesus. So he said, don't be ashamed. So a lot of people, they're like, oh, I don't want to tell people. What if they say I'm a Jesus freak? Well, if they say, are you a Jesus freak? Say, oh, absolutely. People got to be freaky about something. You might as well be freaky about Jesus. You might as well say, oh, Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's alive. Yeah. Come on, we almost got a hand clap there. Every campus. Come on, Weldon. So don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the gospel means good news. Everybody shout, the gospel means good news. One more time, everybody. What? The gospel means. That's good news. I was on a friend's boat this week, and they had lifeboats, which is really good. But it'd be bad if you fell off the boat, and then you drowned, and then they told you the good news that they had lifeboats. It's good news that there's treatments for whatever it is that ails you, but it's bad news if you didn't know about the good news until it was too late. So the good news of the gospel is you and I are carriers of Jesus, and we got to tell everybody everywhere because we don't know if it's the last time we're ever going to see them. At the gas station, it's the last time you're ever going to see that person. At work, part of the punishment in hell is looking at the people that is in heaven. Can you imagine the torment? The Bible talks about this. The torment of you're in hell, a literal place, and you're looking at people in heaven. And can you imagine the people, some that are in hell today, and their friends went to heaven, and their friends that are in heaven never told them about that because they were ashamed, because they were fearful, because they were afraid. Because trust me, the devil will always tell you, don't share your faith. Why? That's a spirit of fear. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, church. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Come on, share it everywhere. That means everywhere you go, be telling them about Jesus. Everywhere you go, be telling them about how great your pastor is. Come on, somebody. Well, come on. Great. Tell it. There was a kid in our neighborhood. I was about 10 years old. I thought he was so cool. I thought, man, this guy's cool. He had kind of long hair, flowing hair. This is the 80s. He looked good. I looked at him and thought, man, I want to be like him. And his name was Jimmy Bush. He always wore a Bush Beer t-shirt. I always thought, man, maybe he's with Bush Beer because we're from St. Louis, right? I lived over to y'all in St. Louis to understand this, over in South County, over by Telegraph, by South County Mall, and I would always see Jimmy, and he was always riding this Honda 70 motorcycle. I got to be around Jimmy and a little bit and hang out with him, and then next thing I know, I put his motorcycle on layaway with Jimmy, and I started paying out. Guys, that is me. Look at my hair. Look at my fluffy shirt. Look, come on. You see, I was kind of husky. I wore husky jeans. And because I think it was $300 or $400, $500, whatever it was I bought the motorcycle for, I had to pay him. My dad would pay him out in payments. But because of that, we developed a relationship. And he'd come over to my house while I was paying the motorcycle off because I had Atari. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? Old people are going to know about this. This is original joystick Atari. This is Space Invaders, Pac-Man. This is switch it out with the paddles and play kaboom. Who's with me right now? This is going on. This is taking one out and putting another one in. Let's give it up for Atari right now. The young kids don't know nothing about this right now. And he'd come over to my house, and we'd be playing those games, and there was something deep in my soul. Now, you saw how old I was, and I was sitting there going, gotta tell Jimmy. Gotta tell Jimmy about Jesus. Can't let Jimmy go to hell. Look at Jimmy in that Beers t-shirt. He's definitely going to hell. Because my family was like, you know, you don't drink, you don't chew, and you don't run with girls that do, at least while people were looking. And so they're real religious. That's what I love about our church. You don't have to clean up to come to Christ. You come to Christ, and he begins to melt that stuff right off you. We catch fish at this church. We don't clean them. I'm going to say it again. We catch fish. We don't clean them. Come on. Somebody ought to shout amen to this right now. So your friends say, I can't come to church. I'm a sinner. Go, oh, they're going to love you. Oh, my pastor's going to love you. He's a big sinner. He talks about it. He actually says, how many of y'all see me say that? The devil cried the day I got saved. We lost a good man today. So we share our faith. But inside my heart, I was like, man, I got to tell Jimmy. About service. I don't know how to, what if he says yes to Jesus? What would I say? So I told Jimmy, you know, and I don't even know what all I said, but I began to tell him about Jesus and tell him about the Jesus I know and tell him about church, tell him about God. Jimmy started to listen to me. And I don't remember the prayer exactly the way I prayed it. But I know that we prayed a prayer for Jimmy to receive Jesus in my basement. And I was thinking about him yesterday thinking, I don't know if he's alive or not. Some people aren't. Some people are. But I do know this, that he gave his life to Jesus. And I do know this, that when that hit my heart to share with him, I believe that God looked at me at that moment and said, you have a heart to help people. And God has brought all these stories to me of people that have went to Earth City or people who went to Sunset Hills. They've came to even this church at the high school, the Royal Palm. And then recently, a guy just died this last week. He went to the hospital, and he just, Rich told me, my God, I just talked to him, and there he's gone. And we hate that. But the good news is we know where he's at now because he came to church, he received Jesus, and heaven is home. Come on, somebody. He's up there waiting right now for us going, oh, you're going to love it up here. It's great up here. And I shared my faith. And when I think today about all the campuses and all the people that are in those campuses, God did not give us these churches to not be ambassadors for him, to not represent him. I'm not perfect. Well, good, join the club. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, it says this, ambassadors. It says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Ambassador, what's an ambassador? A friend of mine, he owns a restaurant here in town in Florida. His name's Lee, and Lee is a very successful business guy, but he recently was asked by the current administration to be an ambassador for the Jewish people all around the world. And so Lee will send me videos, and here he is on this network, and here he is traveling here. They're flying him around in these planes, and he's representing the country in which he's from. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, hey, you are Christ's ambassadors. You're representing the country that you're from. You're not really from here. You're not from Canada. You're not from Mexico. You're not from America. You are God's child from heaven. Your father is a king of a kingdom, and we are his ambassadors to show people that, guess what? Jesus loves you. He gave himself for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We have got to represent him in an incredible way. And then I love the last part of that verse. It says, hey, you, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Reconciled to God. Know this. Down in every person's heart, there's a hole in their soul that says, I need Jesus. A boat won't do it, a drug won't do it, a girl won't do it, a car won't do it, a horse won't do it. I'm not against any of those things. I'm just saying there's just an incredible hole in people's soul. Because when God created you, he said you're fearfully and wonderfully made. It said that he breathed in Genesis. He breathed the breath, the word barak, where we get breath, pneuma, where we get the word pneumonia. He breathes his breath inside of you. That's why we go to church and we say, it's your breath in my lungs. Also, that'll keep you from dating. It's your breath. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Make sure that you are doing what you're supposed to do and be an ambassador for Jesus. Remember, God also didn't come to condemn the world. Here's one of the greatest fears that I have about our church is today, as thousands of people walked in the doors of Earth City and Sunset Hills, and a lot of you I know and a lot of you I don't know today, that you would come in, and my greatest fear would be that somebody would look at you and judge you because of the way you dressed, because of the way you looked. When Nicole and I started the church, in fact, Nicole, can you make your way up here? I just want to show how pretty you look today. There's nothing to do with my sermon, but you got to see this. Just wait a minute. When we started the church, we decided that we wanted a church that didn't point fingers at people like this. Just because people sin differently than you do, don't make the mistake of thinking that you're not a sinner. God loves sinners. That's why he picked Nicole and I to represent you. We're both sinners that God picked to identify with you. Well, me and Nicole went into a very large church in St. Louis, and we had just a little bitty church, about 180 people. We had a weekend off, and we went there to see, wonder what happens in big churches. We went, and we sat in the back, and nobody said hello on the way in. The sermon was nice. The songs were nice. There's nothing wrong with the sermon. And we walked out, nobody said hello. And I remember a time when I went through a divorce, and man, it's a lonely, hurtful place. And you're at work and you're fine, and you're around people and you're fine, but then you gotta go home and you gotta be by yourself. And I thought, man, if I was a single person, I'd hate to be at this church because nobody knew me. And back then, we've been pastoring almost 20 years now, so the show is kind of fading off, but anybody old enough to remember the show Cheers? Watch this, young people. I wanna go where? You're welcome, kids. And that proves it's Grandparents Day today. Come on, somebody, right there. Give it up for all the grandparents and change diapers that took care of kids. Yeah. Okay, so when Nicole and I started the church, we said, hey, we're gonna get a church that's super friendly. And they say this about organizations. If you wanna take the temperature of the organization, put the thermometer in the leader's mouth. And the leaders of this church, when Nicole and I started it, we were so grateful. We're still grateful today. We can't believe that God picked us to do this. And I'm begging you to go out in the highways and byways this week and compel people, because they're in a landslide of depression, a landslide of confusion. And that's why we build these churches. That's why we serve. That's why we do Growth Track, because it's not about us. It's about them. Doesn't she look great today? Come on, give it up for Pastor Nicole. She's getting ready to preach in a few weeks here. Jesus has a lot to say about soul winning. Luke 14 will be my last reference to the scripture as we close. You know the story in Luke 14, it says, then the master told the servant, go, 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 you need to go. My grandson says, go, 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 go. His like some of his first words, he only says about five words, but one of them is go, go. He wakes up, looks at the door and says, go, go. Think he's gonna be an evangelist, go, go. Look at your neighbor and say, go, go. Look back at him and say, it's your breath. No. Then the master told his servant, go out into the roads, into the country, into the lanes. We say Starbucks, Target, Walmart, Neiman. Compel them, make it compelling. Compel them to come in so that they and my house would be full. Jesus tells them that, and then Jesus calls and says, there's this great supper. A great supper, and they all begin to make excuses one by one. You read this story. He said, hey, I can't do it. I just got two yoke of oxen. Today be like, I can't do it. I just got a new, you know, ATV, UTV. I got to go out. I can't do it. I just got married. You know what I mean? Bow chicken, wow, I can't go to church. Then another one, these are true stories. It says, another one said, I just bought a piece of land. I got to develop it. One by one, they began to make excuses. Jesus said this. He said, hey, go out quickly and compel them to come in because he could see that there was a resistance. We talked about it at the beginning of the sermon. There's a resistance to going to church. The devil's not going to fight you to go to the bar. He's not going to fight you to go to Morgan Wallen concert. He's not going to fight you. But that road that he knows will make you free and free you up so you can set other people free, it messes with his mojo. So now when they're on their bed screaming, their face looks like a demon. And they're going to hell. He goes, got them. Because, by the way, the devil doesn't come in with horns on and a pitchfork and go, hey, can I come in? And you look at your Ring camera and it's the devil. You're like, no. I don't think so. No, he comes in stealthy. He comes in like a concept. He comes in like a better idea. He comes in, well, I'm a thinker. He comes in as, well, that's my truth. Listen, I understand your truth, and that's your truth. But guess what? There's only one truth that'll set you free, and it's the truth of God's word. And when we do that, our whole life changes. Come on, every campus, make some noise this morning. Come on, it's Sunday. So we gotta make it compelling. We gotta share our personal story, and we got to convince ourselves that this is the will of God, because it is. The Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is just good news. The good news is you were bound by sin. The good news, you and I were on our way to hell. And the great news is now we've given our life to Jesus. And now that we do that, we can share our faith everywhere. I was with some friends this week, and they took me out for my birthday and took me to the Bahamas for a couple days, and I was over there. I felt like the Lord led me there. I mean, it's what you got to do. But the problem is this person, the people would make me green smoothies every morning, and I mean every morning, and then they would make celery juice, which is horrible, man. It's just terrible. It's just unbelievable. Like, you got to chase it with a Diet Coke or something. This stuff is nasty. Okay, every day. I was so glad I woke up today, and I wasn't with them. Come on, so it's just like, oh, man. And so we went out to somewhere, and we were going. I said, oh, my gosh, there is, and I hate to admit it to you guys, but there was a Burger King, and I felt it pulling me. Starving. We're eating green grass. We're eating all kinds of stuff. Anybody like me, you just get weak sometimes. And so they went into this place to get this green smoothie, and they could go to the right, which is where Nicole went, and everybody went. And I thought, man, if I go in really quick, I can make this happen. Nobody's even going to know. I act like I was on a call, you know, and I walked away. I ran in there, and there's a couple people in the line. I asked the guy, you know, I said, hey, man, it's Bahamian time, so I'm really scared. I go, hey, you know, how long does this take? He said, well, it depends, man. You never know. So I asked the lady, hey, what do you have that's already made? I can get out of here quick. She said, oh, we've got a big flame broiled Whopper. And I said, okay, let's do that. And I throw in some French fries. And I'm walking out of there real quick, and I look, and there's just this little family, a man and a woman and these little kids. And when I walked past them, I thought, man, I need to try to encourage them. I'm sitting there, I thought, I also got to hammer these fries before Nicole sees what I just did. So I'm eating. I'm like, hey, how y'all doing? You guys go to church? Ah, no, not really. Oh, have you ever heard of Miles Monroe? Oh, of course. Well, I was a big fan of Miles, man. He's unbelievable. Started talking about Miles and talking about Miles' church. And he went on to be with the Lord in a plane crash. But God did something in his life that was great. And all the governmental changes that he made happen in that island. By the way, a testament to him. Bahamas is not exactly the same as it was 10 years ago. And Miles was a constraining force, by the way. And I begin to share that. Okay, they're, oh, yeah, we might go to church. Who are you? I told them about me. I told them about faithchurch.com. I walk out, and I'm getting ready to, you know, hammer the rest of this hamburger, and I feel a big arm on my shoulder. It hits me. And I thought, oh, crap, Nicole found me. And I looked around, and it's this guy. He goes, I heard you sharing your faith. I heard you talk about the church. That's the church that I've went to for 20 years. That's the church when Miles died, I'm the pastor. Why were you representing the church like that? That's amazing. Who are you? And I'm like, with this hamburger in my hand, you don't even need to know who I am. But I'm here to tell you that they received a seed. One, the Bible said, one plants, one waters, and the Lord gives the increase. Okay, so one plants, one waters, and the Lord gives, so it looks like this. So he said, hey, who are you? What's going on? See, God is watching, but so are other people. And I was trying to minister to them, which I did, but he actually got ministered to. And he said, man, it stirred my heart up. I need to start doing that on my own island. I'm here to tell you that you have a world tomorrow on Monday, and you need to walk into that world, not in a weird way, but in a Holy Spirit-led way, and invite people to church, pass out flyers, bring people to church. Now, I got a funny video, and I was supposed to play it at the beginning, but if you guys got that one way not to do the church, how to invite people to church, I don't know if they have that or not. Don't do this. Okay, y'all following right now? I said, don't, everybody shout, don't do that. And I have to say that because we got some people that know how to do that. But I am saying, share your faith. And remember that it's not just about a sermon. It is about heaven, it's about hell, and it's about eternity. I want every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, because I want you to be totally comfortable with this question that I'm about to ask you right now. But how many of you say, Pastor David, today while you were sharing, I felt some conviction that I need to be more evangelistic, that I can't let my friends go to hell. Raise your hand right now. Shoot it up. Be honest about it. It should be everybody. You can put it down. Now, look at me just for one moment. At every campus, wherever you're at today, I feel it in my spirit like I'm at every campus. Here it is this Sunday morning, and I'm broadcasting live. Technology is crazy. We're receiving Ashton singing to all the campuses, and you're receiving me. This is an incredible land in which we live right now, that we've got technology to reach people all over the world. But I can't reach them by myself. Why do we have these churches? Why are you raising money to build churches? Because of that woman screaming, grabbing the bed sheets. He said her face turned into a demon. He wanted to know what happened to my wife. And I did the most delicate possible conversation that I could, and I kind of shifted the subject to what I could do for him, because he was alive, and he is alive. And I told him about our Savior who is alive. So I don't want to point fingers at people and try to wonder who went to heaven, wonder what to hell. Let's just focus on the people right here, right now, that are going through hell, that we can change it if we do our part to reach people for Jesus. Stretch your hands toward me at every campus. I want to pray for you. God, we just thank you, Lord, that your goodness and your mercy would move in and out every row and up and down every aisle today. God, I know that the Holy Spirit has touched people's heart to realize we cannot let our neighbor go to hell. People are going through divorce. They're thinking about suicide. They don't know how to keep going. God, you've given us this incredible thing called Jesus. And we got to share it with everybody everywhere. And God, I promise and they promise that today we won't leave without taking a bunch of cards. And we're going to be everywhere. We go to a restaurant, we're inviting people to church. We're at work, we're inviting people to church. We're saying there's a men's meeting. There's a soccer team. There's Upwards. Why do we do sports programs? Why do we do extracurricular activities? Why do we do women's events? So that people that are far from Jesus can come and receive a life change. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Come on, give it up for the Lord today.